The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Mary McKeown of the Business Post is in the United States, but sitting in front of me in the studio is our good friend from the United States, Cal Thomas. Good to see you, Cal. You're looking great.
Well, man, I'm not too bad for an aging white male here. It's good to sit across from my favorite presenter. I've got to tell you this quick story, though. The cab driver who brought me over here is a fan of mine. He said so. He listens to the show. And so I discovered one fan in Dublin. And hello, Paul, and thank you very much.
I hope you gave him a good tip.
Well, of course.
Very good. Okay. So tell us, what did you make of, you know, people are saying the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump. I mean, there wasn't a shot fired by this assailant, so it wasn't as if he got near to doing it. So can you really call that an assassination attempt, or is it more of a sort of a one-man plot?
Well, the one Secret Service agent who saw this, the barrel of the gun, pointed out through the bushes is the one who scared him off. But the big question I have, there are a lot of questions about this. How was this man able to spend 12 hours on the golf course without being noticed? And since the Secret Service said that Trump decided to play a round of golf Sunday at the spur of the moment, there was nothing on his schedule. How did this guy know to be there? I think that's really the critical question in all of this.
Isn't there a pretty good guess that Donald Trump will head to Mar-a-Lago every weekend and go out for a game of golf?
Possibly. That's true. But 12 hours? I mean, he was only, I think, a block or two away from the police station and the other legal people who are there. And I just don't understand how this can happen. I mean, it's a private club. I mean, when I used to go visit George W. Bush and his father in Kennebunkport, Maine, there was a security there with a gate. And you had to show identification and all these other things. I understand the golf club is a very big 18-hole golf course, but still there should have been better security. How did this guy get on the property?
Have you ever been to Mar-a-Lago?
No.
You have, Marianne, haven't you?
Yes, but, you know, I think, Cal, delighted to hear you're in Dublin. I believe you brought the weather with you, and I'm sure you have a lot more than one fan there. So what I find, I absolutely agree with what Cal said, because I've been down on that golf course as well, around that golf course. Now, about a third of a mile away from it, so this guy was apprehended on Mission Boulevard near South Congress. Just up the road there, it's not even a block, is the entire West Palm Beach Criminal Justice Complex. There's a detention centre. It's where the sheriff headquarters are. It's where the police station is. It's even where the medical examiner's office is. And right next to that is a US Army Reserve training centre. So you've got this big presence there. But on the road where he was, on Mission Boulevard, there's no parking anywhere on that road. It's impossible to you can pull up a car, but the fact that he would have had to pull up that car adjacent to the golf course. Now, he wasn't on the golf course, Cal, just to be clear on that. There are all these giant palm trees around it. Then in behind the palm trees, there's a sort of a thicket of trees or shrubs or whatever. And then in behind that again, next to the golf course, there's a chain link fence. So he had managed to conceal himself in the thicket area, I think, for the 11 hours. But his car would have been idling somewhere, presumably, if he was able to get it as quickly as he did when he was shot at. There is a postal depot across the road as well. Maybe he had parked it in the parking there, but then he would still have to get across two or three lanes of traffic. So to me, that's the really perplexing bit with all that law enforcement in the area, with the Secret Service, who presumably did not, it seems, do a sweep before Trump went out onto the golf course, that he could have been there for so long is really strange. I don't think there's any mystery about it. It's an open secret down in Mar-a-Lago that every time Trump's in there, as we knew he was on Saturday night, that he plays golf at this course on Sunday morning. So I think that would have been easy enough to deduct. I don't see anything sinister there, but I do find it bizarre that, as you said, Cal, he was able to hang around there for 12 hours with a car parked very close nearby.
But what do you make, Cal, of the political capital that Trump is now trying to make of this, that he is blaming what he calls the rhetoric of Biden and Harris for this alleged assassination attempt?
Well, if we have a saying in the U.S., I don't know if you have it in Ireland, that's like the pot calling the kettle black, Matt. I mean, who is more responsible for some of the incendiary rhetoric than Trump and now J.D. Vance, his running mate? He's demeaned people. He's called people names. He's called them enemies. And he's even attacked Taylor Swift, of all things. And, you know, I think the response to what Taylor Swift said about endorsing Biden, endorsing Trump, he should have said, you know, most of Taylor's music is about bad choices she's made, so I'm not really worried about it.
But instead, he has said he hates her. I mean, I surely that's dangerous and provocative.
You know, in my column for Thursday, I'm remembering what Abraham Lincoln said at the end of his first inaugural address. Even though the South had split, even though the Civil War had started, even though Americans were fighting Americans with guns and killing and dying, he said, we are not enemies, we're friends. And the better angels of our nature will be preserved. And I say in my column, instead, I think the worst devils of our nature have taken over. It's terrible. I mean, there has been bad rhetoric in politics before. If you go back to the contest between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson in 1801, they were calling each other's names. But this has been exacerbated by social media, by cable television, by talk radio. And it's a really gift to the Harris-Walz campaign because they're not having to answer any real questions.
So, Marion, what Trump said was the suspected gunman believed the rhetoric of Biden and Harris, and he acted on it. Their rhetoric is causing me to be shot at when I'm the one who's going to save the country and they're the ones that are destroying the country, both from the inside and out. So any opportunity to take political advantage. But will people care? And will people actually, other than the Trump cultists, will they look at, instead of him having said there's potential death and destruction if he was indicted in his New York criminal case on the hush money, he's the person who said there'll be a bloodbath for the country if he's not elected in July. And then, even in the last hour or two, he has been out again in relation to what he's going to do to any officials if he's returned to power, if he deems them not to have helped him in securing the votes for re-election.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is, I find it very frustrating that the media does this sort of false equivalency and reports it as though there is, you know, this rhetoric on both sides. There isn't. No Democratic candidates, neither Harris nor Walz nor Biden, have come anywhere close. They have not called for violence in any way, shape or form. They have called for Trump to be prosecuted within the letter of the law for his acts involving the trying to overturn the election January 6th, the classified documents and various other things he was indicted for and indeed convicted for in New York, but they have never called for violence. And, you know, Matt, I remember back in 2020, around this time, we were all really feeling, and I think discussing, that violence seemed inevitable in the outcome of this election if Trump lost. And I'm really concerned that we're at this point again, and maybe more so. We had Alex Jones from InfoWars, that clown, but he has about 3 million followers on Twitter, saying that Roots is a NATO CIA asset and he was told where to be to kill Trump, implying that he had done it because he'd been in Ukraine, this gunman, and that he was basically doing it for Zelensky and the CIA. You know, I mean, all this kind of stuff is just really terrible. And then you had J.D. Vance and Elon Musk implying, well, you know, and nobody's even trying to assassinate, or saying in Musk's case, nobody's even trying to assassinate Biden or Harris. You know, this is being tweeted out to millions and millions of people. The rhetoric, and I do agree with Cal, absolutely, it is so casually violent at the moment that it's just absolutely shocking. And then we see what's happening in Springfield, where you have two schools with elementary schools, little 5, 6, 7-year-old children being evacuated from two different schools yesterday for bomb threats because Vance and Trump have been claiming without any basis, completely falsely, that the Haitian migrants who are there, who are working legally, are kidnapping and eating the pets of non-migrants. And, you know, so this is all just of a piece. And you really feel that we're in it's all so overheated. It's like a pressure cooker, and that, you know, we are being set up if Trump loses. I actually am really concerned about the consequences, notwithstanding that there is a Democratic president in the White House at the moment.
Okay, let Cal respond to that.
Yeah, well, I agree, Marion, and I think what's needed, especially from the Republican side, is somebody in Republican leadership, starting with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who I'm sad to say has been acting more like a sycophant for Trump. He goes down to Mar-a-Lago. He praises him all over the place. We've got to have somebody stand up and say, this is unacceptable. We're not each other's enemies. We're Americans. We have plenty of other enemies who want to do us harm, from Iran, from Russia, from China. Let's talk about those enemies and how we can defend ourselves against them and stop belittling and hating each other.
Carl, what about the use of free speech? Because Marion there mentioned Elon Musk and what the now deleted tweet in which he said he was joking about the fact that nobody has taken a shot at Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. There's free speech and then there's abuse of free speech.
Well, there is. And, you know, I go back to a case some years ago in Illinois where the American Civil Liberties Union defended an anti-Jewish, I think it may have been a Klan-related group, marching through Skokie, Illinois, with hateful speech and signs. The ACLU, which is a liberal group, defended the right of them to say outrageous things. And unless you can connect speech with specific violence, I don't know who's going to control it. Who's going to be in charge of saying this goes too far and this is okay? So while I think, again, we need to have people standing up and saying this is unacceptable in American politics and we need to destroy this rhetoric by opposing it and calling it for what it is.
Okay, but then Elon Musk is just one example. J.D. Vance has effectively admitted as well that he's been making up these stories to try and whip up sentiment.
Yeah, I know. Now they're saying, well, it was on the internet posted by foreign entities. That's the latest I just saw come in a little while ago. And they're blaming foreign entities without saying which ones. You know, the internet is a cesspool. You have to investigate properly before you share this stuff. And this business about Haitians eating pets, not only is it racist, it's ridiculous. There's absolutely no proof. It's been condemned by the mayor of Springfield, Ohio. It's been condemned by the Republican governor of Ohio. And it's just completely irresponsible.
Okay, Marion, tell us about Laura Loomer. Who is Laura Loomer?
Oh, goodness. Laura Loomer, she has attached herself now to the Trump campaign, and apparently it's to the chagrin of the managers of the campaign, Susie Wiles and Chris LaCivita. She has been accompanying Trump everywhere. She is basically, Laura Loomer is somebody that Marjorie Taylor Greene has condemned for being racist. She's been hanging around the fringes of MAGA for years. She spoke at CPAC. She's done various things like that. But she calls herself a white advocate and a provocateur, you know.
Is she an extreme Ann Coulter?
She is more extreme than Ann Coulter, yes. And it's just, she's 31, so she came in with MAGA around 2016. As I say, Marjorie Taylor Greene said she was, her rhetoric was appalling and extremely racist.
So my God, if Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying that.
I'm paraphrasing. I think it was a politician down in Florida who said, I'm not calling you a racist, but when the racists call you a racist, you need to watch out. She told the Associated Press that she was invited on Trump's Pennsylvania trip as a guest. She turned up at the 9/11 events with Trump, even though she's a 9/11 denier. And she's always claimed and continues to claim that the truth must come out about 9/11, that it's some kind of conspiracy. She handcuffed herself to the Twitter headquarters in San Francisco a while ago, wearing a Star of David, trying to make some point nobody knows. She even ate dog food and posted about it on Twitter. You know, she's a craven attention seeker. She used to work for Alex Jones and is in for Wars and another outfit called Project Veritas.
Marion, the important thing here though is that Donald Trump has been praising her from the stage at rallies. Yeah. He's been posing for photographs with her. He's made videos with her. We've seen her hands around her waist, quite handsy with her, definitely flirtatious. She has flown apparently on his jet. I mean, what does this say about the man's, I have to phrase this carefully, about the man's intentions, about his mental stability if he's hanging around with somebody like her?
Well, Trump has had a series of women who have been accompanying him very, very closely to a number of events over the last year. There's a woman down in Mar-a-Lago who looks very, very like Melania, who was his private assistant, who was raising eyebrows when she turned up all over the place for a couple of months. She seems to have disappeared now. And Laura Loomer, as I say, seems to be the current person who's accompanying him on the jet. It shows dreadful judgment, considering all the things that she has said and done, and her really inflammatory comments and her outright racist comments. And if Trump is traveling with her, if he's inviting her onto his plane, if he's with her, then you have to believe that he's not violently in disagreement with her, that he in some way believes
that
things that she's saying.
Okay, well, what do you make, Cal, of this?
Well, it's bad optics, too. I mean, look at Trump's history with women. I mean, he's on his third marriage. He's had many affairs. He demeans women he doesn't like, Nancy Pelosi, among others. And it just looks bad. As you said, I saw that picture of him being very handsy with her, hand around her waist. And, you know, she looks like she might have been a Playboy playmate at some time. And I just think it looks terrible. And Melania doesn't travel with him at all now.
Yeah, I was just wondering, where is Melania?
Well, I don't know. You know, the excuse used to be that she stayed home because of their son, Barron.
But he's graduated.
He's off to college now in New York. And so she's just not traveling with him. And it's bad optics all around. When you travel with your wife, when you have mostly pictures with your wife, it serves as kind of a defense against any accusations that you are behaving improperly. But it's just the opposite with Trump.
Marion, where is Melania? Do we know?
Well, she has a new book coming out. So she's done a couple of Twitter. And, you know, this will hence her raising issues last week about the first assassination attempt. And now, you know, so she's got a new book coming out. I've no idea what it's about. But she has been posting pictures of herself and messages on Twitter and other places. But she is pretty well invisible. As Cal said, she hasn't been, apart from at the convention on the final night and the final moments of the final night, she turned up and went on stage. And apart from that, really nobody has seen her. She hasn't been in any way a part of this campaign. And as you just pointed out, apparently Trump's youngest son, Barron, is now in NYU in college. So, that excuse no longer holds water. So it's clear that, as you say, you know, there have been a series of other women who have been accompanying Trump everywhere, you know, over the last couple of years. And Laura Loomer is the latest iteration and possibly the most worrying.
Okay, Carlos, listener says Bill Clinton was the biggest womanizer while in office. And that may well actually be true, although he would have been maybe trotting after John F. Kennedy. And you can have this, you can have views on the morality in relation to all of that. But I suppose the difficult difference in this case is Laura Loomer is peddling racist nonsense. And not only is she peddling it, she's being endorsed by Donald Trump, who is praising her for doing it. That brings it onto a different level, doesn't it?
You're known by the company you keep, Matt, and you're absolutely right. And I think it's very, very discouraging. There are real issues that need to be debated. In the ABC News debate, the question that should have been asked right off the bat was to Kamala Harris, you've said over and over again that when you were in the presence of President Biden, that he was cognitively alert, articulate, up to date on the issues. Would you like to revise those statements now, given what he has said and withdrawn from the race? And the other question that should have been asked that wasn't, and we ought to be debated, is her position on imposing price controls on food, on petrol, and all of these other things. Those are two important questions that were never asked. And all of this side stuff with Laura Loomer and golf course and assassination attempts are taking away from what most Americans really care about.
Yeah, but do you think, Carl, does Donald Trump have the mental capacity to be president for 4 years from January? Is he compos mentis?
Well,
the type of people he's hanging around with, given the things that he's saying, even leaving aside the whole fact of whether somebody who was responsible for the January 6th attempted insurrection should qualify to be a candidate to be president, do you think he has the mental capacity and the stamina to do the job?
When Joe Biden was still a candidate for re-election, Trump challenged him to a cognitive test. He said, we'll take it on the same day, we'll take it together, we'll take it separately. I think that somebody in the media ought to challenge Trump to go through with that now. And I think your questions are valid ones. They're not necessarily related to some of the things you say, but his speech is getting a little more garbled. He does repeat himself a lot, and he goes on at these rallies for an hour or more. You know, the thing that really got his goat during the ABC event was when Kamala Harris charged that people were bored and were leaving his rallies, and that really got him upset.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Cal Thomas and Mary McKeown, thank you so much for being with us. We'll be talking to you many times between now and Election Day.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.